Blog Talk Radio.
All right. January 26th, Sunday. John, how are you tonight, honey?
Good. How are you? How's everything going?
Good. Happy Sunday, everybody. And before we start, I'd just really like to say, give my condolences to the Kobe family and everyone else who was on this helicopter that took the life of this talented young athlete. It is such a shame, and his young daughter as well. So sad to hear that today. Anyway, before we begin, I'd just like to thank our sponsors, and they are KWV Wines and the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, and Precious Memory Video in Pennsylvania. So on the phone with us tonight, John, is Mr. Jack O'Halloran. I know him best as from the Superman movies. I had no idea this man was a boxer, but I'm not a boxing fan, so I wouldn't know that. But anyway, welcome to the show, Jack. Jack O'Halloran, everybody. How are you?
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. You kidding me? So you have a lot to talk about. My God. So you started in boxing originally, correct?
Well, I actually started in football.
Oh, really? What team were you on?
The Jets and the Eagles.
Really? What position?
Defensive end.
Really? How big are you, actually? How tall are you, John? You're a big guy.
6'6".
Wow. John, do you recall Jack being on the Jets or the Giants?
Sadly, I don't follow football or baseball.
Me either.
I play music most of my life.
I was
a musician.
Was that a time when they didn't have hardship cases in those days when I was at that age? And if you didn't stay at school, you couldn't play pro ball until your class actually graduated from college.
Mm.
So I left school early, and I was picked up by the Jets, and I played on what you call like their farm system with a lot of other guys that wound up playing up at the pros afterwards. We spent a little time down on a farm deal to play with a team in Philadelphia called Tinicum AC.
Mm.
And Dick Christie, Jimmy Christie, a lot of good ball players. And then when the Eagles had a very good team, when I was eligible to play, I told Eubank I wanted to go down to Philadelphia because I had a lot of friends who were playing down there. And then Jerry Wallman bought the team, and he brought Joe Q. Harrick in as a coach. And Q. Harrick traded away a championship football team in about a month and a half.
Wow.
And Ali had just won the title.
Wow.
So I said to a couple of friends of mine, you know what, I can beat that guy.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a good idea. Let's put you in the gym.
Wow.
So I left football and I went into a gym, and 6 months later I was throwing punches.
Wow. Now I have to apologize, Jack. I'm not a big sports fan, so I apologize tremendously that I don't know anything about sports or
not everybody does.
But your boxing career was phenomenal. I mean, you were going to fight Ali.
Yeah, Ali and I were signed 4 times to fight. Just circumstances, it just never happened. We were supposed to fight 4 different times. Actually, when he fought Norton in San Diego, he was supposed to fight me.
Mm, wow.
But that's a whole story. It's a whole other story of why and why he didn't. And we actually had a signed contract.
Right, wow. But you did beat George Foreman, right?
I fought George Foreman. I fought Norton. I fought Alvin Blue Lewis. I fought Cleveland Williams. I fought a lot of people.
Wow. So I know that's why I had to ask how big you were, because I know from the Superman movies you looked huge. So I had to, oh, there, 6'5", according to this, is what I'm reading. So, wow. Unbelievable. Do you miss the boxing at all, or did you ever train?
Well, it was sad when I was fighting, when I had about 18 fights or somewhere around there, they discovered I had a disease called acromegaly, which is a tumor of the pituitary gland. And,
oh.
And they said I shouldn't even be fighting at all. How do you even get in the ring? And because it causes depression and giganticism, and your body's constantly growing with rheumatoid arthritis and stuff. And I laughed at it and just said, yeah, okay. Because boxing was like a day job for me. I was very much involved in my father's world. So at night times we were playing around with the unions and stuff, and the daytime you had to have a day job. So
keep
the law and order away from you. So boxing was a good day job. And it's just sad that I had a lot of very natural talent, and had I put into it what I should have, I probably would have wound up Ali and I would have had a very good waltz.
I could have been a contender. You could have been a contender, right?
Well, I was a contender.
No, I'm only kidding. I know. I know.
But it worked out all right. You know, it is what it is. I don't make any excuses for anything. And I left boxing and went into the movie business. And
And you're also a friend of Chuck Wepner's, and my mother
loved him. Chuck's a good guy.
My mother loved him. He used to come into the White Castle every night for some White Castle burgers, and he would always try to pick my mother up. But
that figures. That sounds like Chuck.
That figures. But she did love him. She loved him very much. So for our Comic-Con fans, you're actually started out in earlier films other than Superman, but you're most well known for the Superman roles. Am I right or no?
Yeah, you know, the film that I loved the most that I did was Farewell, My Lovely with Robert Mitchum. Mm. That was the first movie I ever did. It came to me several times to do films up in Boston in 1967. Steve McQueen was doing the Thomas Crown Affair.
Mm.
And we looked after him when he came into Boston, and he and I became good friends, and he wanted me to come down. He's come down on the set, I'll put you in the movie and come back to Hollywood. We'll have a gall, man. You know, you should be in Hollywood.
Right.
And I said, I don't think so. It's not my time to play.
Mm.
And he used to call me up all the time. You got to come to Hollywood. You got to come to Hollywood.
Mm.
He did a movie called Towering Inferno, and his name was Captain O'Halloran.
I remember that movie. I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, his name was Captain O'Howard, and he called me on the phone. How do you like your name up on the screen?
Then
I knocked the guy out in L.A. in 1968, Manuel Ramos, who was number two in the world.
Hmm.
And they wanted me to do The Great White Hope with James Earl Jones.
Oh, wow.
And the deal was supposedly all put together by some friends of mine from the East Coast because they wanted me off the street, so... And then they flew me out. I sat with the producer, and he said, you're going to go to Spain for 6 months and this and that and the other thing. And I said, I just beat the number two heavyweight in the world, and you expect me to give up boxing and go make a movie when I'm about to fight Muhammad Ali? Are you crazy?
Right. Why did you turn the role of Jaws down in The Spy Who Loved Me?
I didn't like the script.
Okay. And
I didn't like the character. I didn't want to be portrayed as I turned down six movies that Richard Kiel did. It made his career, you know.
Yeah.
And a couple of them I wish I would have done because I probably should have. For the first one, there were a couple of mistakes I made in my career. And the first one, I should have done The Silver Streak with Richard Pryor and
that was a funny movie.
And Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to play, but I had a break in King Kong. I was doing King Kong at the time.
Wow.
And we had a break when they went to New York to film the ending, and we were sitting in L.A. for 6 weeks waiting for them to come back. And they wanted me to go up. They wanted to rent me from the Kong picture to go up and do this movie on the interim.
Nice.
And I should have done it. I just said, well, I can lay at the beach for 6 weeks. What the heck?
Right. Well, we make our decisions based on, what we want to do at the time.
Yeah.
And you do what you did, so whatever.
So then the Cubby Broccoli and them came to me to do a picture, to do Jaws.
Mm.
And when I met them at my agent's office in L.A., I already signed to do a picture called March or Die with Gene Hackman and Catherine Deneuve and a host of good people.
Mm.
And I could have probably got out of it. I don't know. But I just didn't like, and I had a conversation with Robert Mitchum. He said, "You like the script?" I said, "No." He said, "Good. Just keep doing what you're doing then."
Mm.
And I did. So, and it would have conflicted. I think if I had done Jaws, it would have overlapped with me doing Superman, because when
right.
I get done March or Die, we went right into Superman.
Right, right.
So it was,
Is it true that you didn't particularly care for Christopher Reeve when you were still up
there?
That story is so
taken out of context. It's,
that's why I'm asking you to tell the truth.
When you work with people for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
you always going to have some kind of a misunderstanding,
right?
Right. And there was a great restaurant, Italian. It was the first real Italian restaurant in London, down on Beecham Place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were friends of mine. I knew the family well. And so I used to take and talk to everybody from the studio to go into London when they were in there to eat dinner,
mm-hmm.
promote business for it, because it was a very paparazzi place. And,
excuse me.
And Christopher was in there one night with Hackman and a bunch of people, and kept throwing my name around about my New York connections and my father and things involving my past. And the owner of the restaurant called me on the phone. He said, "Jack," he said, "how well do you know Christopher Reeve?" And I said, I work with him. He said, "Well, he's saying a lot of things about you and your dad and your past that I know you don't ever talk about. So I think you ought to straighten him out, because he's saying it loudly in a restaurant." So I grabbed him the next day and I said, took him in a room and I had a conversation with him. And I told him, I said, "How well do you know?" He said, "Well, I know." I said, "Well, what gives you the right to do this?" And I, "I hear the stories about your father." I said, "Well, that's, so I said, "Next time you mention my name, say Mr. You understand, sunshine?"
Yeah.
And then we went out in the hallway where all these people were there, and all of a sudden he became Superman.
Yeah.
"You can't talk to me that way." So I grabbed him and I had him against the wall, and I was just getting ready to smack him.
Mm.
And Richard Donner jumped up in my ear and said, "Not in the face, Jack, not in the face." So that's what I did. I started laughing and I dropped him on the floor and I said, "You know what, kid? You just thank this man for saving your ass."
I
walked away. And, that was, we went on and on and on, and we worked and everything. There was never any conflict, That was the argument.
Right.
And everybody has arguments. Christopher was a young kid, first movie of stardom he ever
right.
did.
Yeah, he was cocky. And
there'll never be another Christopher Reeve
to do
Clark Kent and Superman. And that's because Richard Donner got from him a performance that he would have never got. I mean, Donner, he should have thanked Donner every day. In fact, when they got rid of Donner and brought Richard Lester in, Christopher, I blame Christopher for that, because Christopher should have stood up and said, "No Donner, no me."
Right.
Because Gene Hackman did that. He walked away.
Mm.
But we had already shot 85% of two, so I wasn't going to go back. And I said, I did. And Richard Lester, it was like night and day. It's like Richard Donner's a brilliant director. And if they'd have kept Donner to finish two, then Donner would have done 3, 4, 5, and 6. Would have been a whole different franchise.
Yeah, well,
The Salt kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Right, right. And it would have been the first time Superman actually got his ass kicked. But now also you, back in, was it 2008, I think it was, you were starting to do a project for Long Beach Studios. Did that ever come to fruition?
Well, we put a lot of time and energy into, and it's something that was really needed to build a studio of the size that we were going to build, and the location was brilliant.
Right.
And all the things we had, we spent a lot of time and money, and we had all the money to get ready to do it. But it took us like 8 months to get an anal Boeing to sign a PSA to release the land for us to go in and do it. And the world fell apart financially in 2008.
Everything just
collapsed. And
you're right.
So it didn't, you know, and it was sad because it was something that was very much needed. So we're doing the same thing. We're going to build something, but even four times bigger over in Nevada. And we're in the process of doing it now.
Oh, good. So you just put it on the shelf for a minute. That's all.
Well, we looked around and we played with it. It's something to build a studio. We're going to build a 4 million square foot studio, which means everything in entertainment will be under one roof for the very first time.
Wow.
Everything, all technology, television, radio, I mean, television, music, film, streaming, water body, everything, every piece of technology involved in entertainment will be in one place. And then we're going to build a smart city next door to it, which will house 20 to 25,000 people that will be employed at the studio. And we're going to give them a 7-year work contract, and it's going to, and they only have to go 15 minutes to work instead of 2 hours.
Right. Yeah,
so
everything
involving it is cost effectiveness, to make things cost effective and to give people a better frame of mind while they're working, and you know, the whole nine yards. So it's a great idea, and everybody's up for it, and the governor of the state, and you know, everybody in the state, and it's going to be it's a nice move.
Good. I hope it comes to light for you. I really do. It sounds
it's all coming together as we speak. Actually, it's good.
It sounds like a great idea. I got to ask you this: what role did you have in the Flintstones? I saw it, and I briefly remember the movie. I briefly remember it.
You know, I did play the part of Yeti, and it was, I remember when I did, I don't know why, I almost didn't do it, but I did it because a friend of mine at Universal said, please, and they were looking, it had filling in roles with named people, and the role was much bigger, and when they put Elizabeth Taylor in the movie, they had to cut footage out, so, I mean, I even had, there were a couple scenes in there where Liz Parker and I were face to face, and they came to me to do a commercial over the, it was a great scene in the movie, and they wanted to do a commercial, I think a McDonald's or Jack in the Box or somebody, and we had it all set out and everything, and then they had to cut the footage because of this of putting Liz in, and so I, you know, I just, it was the only time I ever did a film that I ever had any footage cut out of a film, you know.
No, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, you know.
well, you know, she's such a sweet lady, God.
Yeah,
she was really,
She was a
sweet woman.
I know it wasn't okay for Christopher Reeve to talk about, but can we talk about your past in New Jersey or no?
Yeah, my father was Albert Anastasia. He was probably the most powerful Italian to come in the country. He was the Gambino family was the Anastasia family until they assassinated him in 57.
Mm.
And they assassinated him because he wouldn't go in the drug business.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a very bad mistake when they did it. And they came and told me that 2 years later that they are sorry that they did what they did because he was the glue that held everything together. When they assassinated him, then a lot of things fell apart. And it was Vito Genovese was a very... Gino Genovese wanted the drug business badly.
Mm.
And when he had been deported to Italy in the 30s, he got involved putting a heroin plant in Sicily where they refined stuff. Mm. And they, in fact, when they were bringing it into America, they weren't called Italians that were dealing it. They called them Zips to distinguish because they didn't want to be affiliated. So It was a muddle because they saw so much money involved in something, but if you ever saw The Godfather when Brando was approached to do the drug business and he turned around and he said that, you know, he said no because if he touched it, his children would touch it and it'd be the downfall of the families. Well, my father said that,
Right.
If we touch it, it'll be the downfall of our families, and our children will touch it. It's not a good idea.
And he said,
you know, we didn't sign. And they even went the night before he was assassinated at the same hotel, Park Sheraton. They had a meeting with him, you know, a couple of people from New Orleans and Florida, and they sat down and they said, begged him.
Your father you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
They begged Albert. They said, you know, please, it's just business. Just let it happen. He said, that's not a business I signed up for. We didn't sign up for this.
Right.
So, you know, when they assassinated him, they were, they realized they made a terrible, terrible mistake. But,
your dad was assassinated?
Yeah, he's the guy they shot in the barber chair.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, I didn't know. No,
that's the man they shot in 1957, October of 57. He was assassinated in the barber. It was the most prolific assassination of the mafia history.
Wow. The movie The Irishman, is it based off of your dad? Or?
The Irishman is, when they did The Irishman, they took advantage of questions that everyone's been asking about Hoffa's death and Joey Gallo's death. And only people who are really inside the families know the truth about what happened to people.
Of course.
Frank Sheeran, I knew very well. Frank Sheeran was from Philadelphia. He was my size. Frank was 6'4". Mm. And Bobby De Niro is a great actor, but he's 5'8", and he's playing a guy 6'4". So, and Frank Sheeran did not kill Hoffa, and he didn't kill Joey Gallo. He killed a couple other people, and Russell Bufalino was a friend of mine. He was from Western Pennsylvania. Actually, he was from Buffalo, and they moved him into Western Pennsylvania because he was a great business guy, and he was very well connected with Washington politically.
Is your 2010 book, The Legacy, I'm sorry, The Family Legacy, based off of this or no?
Family Legacy is a start of, there's three more books to come. Family Legacy, the story comes from my father's death to Jack Kennedy's death.
I
tell the truth about the Kennedy assassination, and I tell the truth about a lot of things that led up to my father's death. And what we've done is it's not a mob picture. It's a story about how organized crime, all the illicit monies that they made, they put back into the country, into the growth of the country. They created jobs. My father controlled the waterfront. They controlled the construction companies. They controlled the unions. They invested money in Westinghouse, General Electric. They controlled the insurance companies. They put money in. They created jobs for people because in their line of business in the beginning, it was gambling, loan sharking, and extortion. And if you didn't have money, how could you pay them?
Right.
So they made sure you went to work, And there was so much. And in the beginning, you had the government and the unions and law enforcement and organized crime were all partners.
Right.
Industry. Government and you and labor, everybody, they were partners. It was harmony in a lot of things. I mean, you didn't have drive-by shootings. You didn't have a lot of the junk that you have. The old timers ran their neighborhoods and they ran them well.
Right.
You know, children played in the streets from dawn, from sunset to sundown. Nobody ever bothered anybody.
No, I know. That's the way growing up for me was too. No,
I mean, I never locked my front door or my house when I was a kid.
I never even had a key to my house. You kidding me? We never had keys. So I just wondered, since you were a big guy, what type of things did you help the family do anything in regards to collecting money or anything like that?
I was involved in several unions, and the iron workers and the roofers and the Bartenders Waiter Association, I was involved in a lot of things, and I moved around a lot. I was in Philadelphia. I was in New York. I was in Boston. I think I'm one of four of us alive that ever went across the country and met every one of the old Dons.
Wow.
You know, what'd
you think of John Gotti?
John, I knew John. John was You know, John was his own worst enemy. You know, any man that has $900 million and goes to jail is a fool.
Right.
And he, John used to, I used to talk to John on the phone once in a while, and he'd say, yeah, you got to come and see me, kid. And I said, John, I wouldn't walk into your office if you gave me all the money in the world, because everything you said in there is bugged. And he just played this high profile, way off the charts mafia deal where it was totally out of character. What he was doing.
Right.
You know, he was, John was not what people really think he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, you know, that's another question.
Of course. So now you're pretty much a big draw at Comic-Con these days, right?
Yeah.
So how do you enjoy those shows, the Comic-Cons?
Yeah, they're good. You know, it's nice to meet people. And, you know, it's fun. When I first started doing them, the people would come up to me and say, oh, my God, you can actually talk.
Jesus. That
was, well, it kind of, cool, you know what I mean?
But that's stupid to say. Come on.
That's how people, you know, they remember, you know, they come up to me and they say, boy, your character scared me to death, but I love your character so much. Because, and the reason is because, you know, I was doing a picture of March or Die down in Spain, Gene Hackman and I, and they flew us up to London to meet Richard Donner.
Mm.
And talk about Superman. And Donner said to me, do you mind playing a mute? You know? And I said, no. I said, I actually embraced the fact of doing it because Jackie Gleason was a friend of mine, and he did a picture called Gigo that won an Oscar playing a deaf, dumb mute. I said, if I ever get an opportunity to do a role where I can do it with facial body expressions, I'll do it. And Nan was perfect because General Zod was a vicious killer, and Sarah was a man eater. So somebody had to relate to the children audience, you know.
Yeah.
So I took this big brutish guy, and I played him like a child, learning how to work my eyes, and you know, and it worked out very well.
Good. So what are we working on?
Hey,
now?
Joanne.
Yes, John.
We're coming to our end. Why don't we go over where we can find out what Jack's going to be and his website and everything?
Just getting ready to ask him that, John. Thank you, honey. So, Jack, what are we working on now? And
we're about to do the film of Family Legacy.
Uh-huh.
And we're
based off of the book, yes?
Based off of the book, Family Legacy. You can go to familylegacythenovel.com and it's right there. It takes you to Amazon.
Right.
And we're going to do a television series as well, which will be brilliant, actually, because there's so much material to cover. I know we've got three more books coming. So we're going to tell a lot of truth. And there's a lot of old timers that are some of 90 some years old that would love to tell the truth before they pass away.
Of course. So where can folks find out more about you in general, Jack?
FamilyLegacyTheNovel.com or just Google me.
All right. Mr. O'Halloran, Jack,
welcome. Please.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough for joining us, and we'd love to have you back sometime. And, you know, when that book and that movie comes out, why don't you reach out to me, and, you know, we'll let the folks know about it and let them know where they can see it and get copies or whatever, you know?
Absolutely. Thank
right.
you very kindly.
Well,
thank
you,
Jack.
Honey. Have a good night. Take
you
care.
You guys have a great day.
It was you too. It was a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Take care, Jack.
All right.
All right,
Joanne,
we have our next guest. Yes, he is. Hey, Mark, you there?
Yes, how do you do?
Hey, on the phone we have Mr. Mark G. Pavic. He's an actor, he's an artist, he's a director. You name it, he does it. Give him a hat, he'll wear it. So how are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. Not too bad, thank gosh.
Good. I want to thank you so much for jumping in last minute because of the Grammys. We were only going to do a half-hour show, but I really wanted the folks to know about your new movie that's on Amazon, The Inspector. So tell us more about yourself, Mark. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I can tell you a little bit what led into Inspectrice, you know, the movie.
Oh, sure. Oh, I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's a little play on the words. We switched the last few letters there and went Trays instead of Ers. So
yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing.
From the clip you sent me, I'm getting a almost kind of Walking Dead vibe, almost alien vibe. Or tell us about it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're on track. Because what it is is they're like an old Ghostbusters crew, the young guys in it and the gal. And I am the old, like one of the old Ghostbusters that's running the committee.
Yeah.
And what happens is the society has learned to accept that there's zombies and stuff out there. So we're
living amongst them.
We're living amongst them. So what happens is we have an organization there that has to go out, and we get calls to clean up any of the zombies that might be in someone's neighborhood invading.
Sort of like, there's a raccoon in my yard. Get a cage.
Exactly. There's a zombie in my store. Could you please come get it?
Right.
So it's a fun comedy, and it's a thriller. And I can't tell how the ending goes or anything, you know.
Of course not. We want people to watch it.
Right. But I could tell you a few fun things. And there we went out to one of the most haunted places in Illinois to do the castle-like scene there. And that place was spooky. That's all I can say. That place was literally spooky.
What's the name of it?
It was some old, you know, I don't know the exact name, shame on me, but it was an old insane asylum that they closed there where the patients were abused and that. So it was.
John, you ever heard of that place?
I never, if I get the name,
it was
I'm
out
sure
by
I'll
Des
know
Plaines.
It.
Yeah, it was out
but
by
they
the
marked
Plaines.
It. Did anything happen to you or the crew when you were out there? Did you have any sightings or any ghost encounters?
You know what? That's interesting, because when we were filming and then we're going back and we're looking at the editing and that, and you could see a guy's face in the window, his body,
oh,
his
wow.
chest. Yeah, and we were like, look at that up over there.
Oh, that's
weird.
It
was like, oh, man. So if anybody goes out there, make sure you call the inspectors first so we can clear the area.
Oh, that's funny. So tell us those funny tidbits about the movie you were going to share with us.
Well, I got to love there's a few scenes in there. The one on the clip, and I can share with you the hospital scene. It's pretty good because you get a lot of the feel of the characters, and the one that struck me funny is a kind of where I come in the room and I we agree on a deal with the patient, and it's like, well, it's not very often that we hire somebody that we shot before the interview. You know, because this poor guy gets shot while we're trying to collect a zombie, and then of course we don't want him to sue us, so we offer him a job.
He wouldn't take that $10,000.
He took the job. He becomes one of the inspectors. So.
Cool.
Yeah, and is it okay if I shout out to those guys?
Absolutely. You can say anything you want, sir.
Yeah. Darren Orange, he was the producer there. And director and partially writer, Matt Forbick, one of the writers, and Jorgensen, another writer. And I want to thank all those guys. You know, they made it happen. And some of the actors in there, Dennis Harold, Renee, Lucas Thompson, Brian Barber, Mindy Barber. This is kind of an interesting story. I'm just going to give it to you real quick. But Brian and Mindy were not married before we did the movie.
Okay.
So now I don't know how long they have been dating, so I can't go there. But interesting enough, after the movie, they became Mr. and Mrs. Barber. So.
Oh, isn't that something? Huh.
Yeah. So there's a little fun in there, you know, where the movie might have made some lovers fall in love, you know.
Oh, nice. So what other movies have you been in, Mark, that people would know you from?
Well, I'll tell you what happened was, at the time, I was playing one of the officers in Chicago Code when that was around. And it was a series in town, and I was actually at that show, and a guy that was working there, he come over to me and he says, they're making this movie in Spectres, and they need a really funny guy that can play this part, and I think you should go audition over there. So
right.
Then I ran over to the audition, and later on, about 2-3 days later, I get a phone call, and they're like, it's between you and one other guy, so you're going to have to come in and do some more lines, and we're going to make a pick. So then I went in there and did a few more lines and made everybody laugh, and I think that helped. And then next thing I knew, I was chief inspector. So I was like, wow, this is really cool. You know, so that was kind of through, like, one thing led for another. And the Code, it lasted a few seasons, and then they went in. I don't know why shows come and go, but it left. So
right.
And
well,
right,
I think it's great that Amazon and Netflix are taking on smaller movies now. It's giving everybody a chance to get seen and heard, and you know, their work just to be out there for everybody to see. I mean, Netflix is just like, and Amazon streaming is just amazing nowadays, you know?
Yeah, that is totally awesome. And we got to thank them too. And thing about Amazon too, like right now, if you go on Amazon Prime, for the audience, you can go there and watch Inspectres. So
right,
that's
right.
Cool. And you can download it for $10 if you want to download it and keep it on your computer, or they have an option where you can actually buy the CD, you know, if you want to just get the movie
cool.
And put it in your collection. Yeah, so.
But you could also go and watch it for free, you said, right?
Exactly. You can go right over there right now and watch it for free. So, and
cool.
it's funny. It's a funny thriller, so I hope everybody enjoys it.
I'll have to try and catch it.
Yep, and it's interesting because the old director called me up a couple months ago, and he was talking about we need to get that cast back together.
Nice.
So now we're starting to work. We're going to work on a movie this summer, and we're going to try to get as much of the original cast as we can. That's the goal.
And what movie is that from again?
The one we're going to work on this summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one about the beer. I don't remember
right,
the name
that's
of that.
That's the one. We don't have a name for it yet. We haven't titled it yet. But what happens is the some kind of catastrophic event happens where the world is ending.
Mm.
And come to find out, beer becomes part of the savior. So, and in that one, I will be playing an old rancher who's very good at making beer.
Mm. Uh-huh. And good at drinking it too, right?
Oh yes. So it should be quite interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds it.
So I can't wait till this summer and go ahead and get on that, you know, get that going.
Good.
So right
good,
now
good.
we're kind of all over the place with that. We're going out, we're looking locations now and everything else. So it's everybody's working on it.
Excellent. So other than that, what else are we working on these days?
You know, other than that, I've just been working on my collections of art, really. People call me time and time again, and I just do art for them. If they want their buildings done or something. I'm an oil painter and a sketcher, so.
Oh, nice.
I kind of do that in the part time too. So.
Hmm.
Keep myself
That's
busy
good.
All over the place.
Right.
I actually had one. In the meantime, between the couple movies I was doing, I wrote a movie called Dog's Day Out. And that one, unfortunately, I couldn't get enough funding to get it going. But
nice.
We did do some preliminary footage in that. And just busy all the time. You know, that was a lot of fun, too. And it's too bad we couldn't have got that one out. That one was pretty fun. Maybe we'll get it out later on.
Right. Hey, one thing at a time. You know, you can't do everything at once, you know?
Exactly. You know, there's only so much of you to go around there.
Right. When busy is good. However, we don't want to kill ourselves.
But, yeah. So I hope everybody, you know, gets a chance to flip over and watch Inspect Race and get that and get an idea and everything, because our next movie will be out in a year or so, or maybe a year and a half, and they can do the follow-up then.
Great.
Are you working
well,
with the same people, Mark, for the new movie? Is it the same people, or is it the cast and crew?
We are trying to get as much of the same cast as we can. The crew... I'm not too sure on the crew, because a lot of those guys are working union and stuff on the crew, and I don't even know who they're working for right now, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, so crew, I have no idea, but I do know it will be the same director. Darren Orange will be directing and producing this one, and I'm going to be there. I think I got wind that Harold Dennis is going to be there, and he was one of the inspectors. And I'm sure Lucas will be there. Hey, Lucas, do you hear me out there? Lucas has got to be there, because he's like my twin. He's like my young twin, you know, like what I might have looked like.
Will it be a sequel
years.
To the last movie, Mark? Will it be a sequel, or will it be a different type of movie altogether?
It's a different type of movie altogether. It still will be a comedy. We like to do the comedies, so that's it'll be kind of another thriller comedy thing. So, but it'll be a different.
Is most of your
a different
work
adventure.
Comedy?
Excuse
Mark,
me.
Is most of your work comedy?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I work on the series, I tend to work a lot of drama. But when I work on these movies, I tend to work a lot of comedy. So
a little bit of both worlds, right? The best of both worlds.
Yeah, keeps you on your toes. But I like the comedy a lot more. I really do. I enjoy making people laugh and having a good time, you know.
Right.
And fun when we were on Inspect Race, and we had... she's going to kill me. I can't remember her name right now. But we had the actress come out from California to come to Chicago and work. And she's watching the footage while we were doing the thing, and she comes down the hallway, cracking up. She's like, "You are so damn funny." I was like, good, thank you. Because in the movie, I kind of portray a kind of a little bit of maybe an Aykroyd kind of guy, you know. I've always admired the Blues Brothers. I'm going to be honest with you. Those guys were good, you know. So.
Well, you've been doing this a long time, yeah? How long have you been acting?
I have been acting since... Oh, gosh, let me see. I think it was about 2006.
Oh, a long time. And, okay.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting, because they had Fred Williamson came to Gary, Indiana, and he was doing a movie called Original Gangsters. And I went down there and I was like, you know, I'm going to get in line and see what happens. And I got in line and they were like, you know, you look like the mayor of Gary right now. So would you be a stand-in? So my very first job, I was a stand-in, and I was like, wow, this is cool. But then it was kind of an illusion because I did a little extra work later. And
yeah.
And it was going to extra was like going in reverse after you were a stand-in. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And Fred was really cool. Fred Williamson was like so cool because what he would do is he would pay you cash in an envelope at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, this is like, is this Hollywood? I want to be here, you know?
Hey, cash is king, right?
but then later on, I found out, I like, well, no, wait, it don't all work like that.
Right. Oh, well. Go ahead, honey. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine, because it's just funny, because sometimes now you do something or that, and it's like, okay, where's the check? Well, it's still out in California, and
right. Yeah, you're back to those. Where's those cash days? You know, give me that cash.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
God.
You get your check, and Uncle Sam stuck his hand in there, and it's like, what happened here? What's going on?
Exactly. Give me back the cash.
Yep.
So, for folks out there listening, you can go see the Inspectrade. It's streaming now on Amazon for free. However, you can purchase it. You can download it for $10, as Mark said, or you could actually purchase the DVD itself. So, Mark, where else can people find out more information about you?
I am DB. I'm on there, Mark G. Pavick. If you put it in Google on IMDb, it's got a few of the movies and stuff I did, and a little bit about me, and then Facebook, of course.
That's where we met.
Yeah, so they can go right on Facebook and see what I'm up to. I kind of like to keep updated on there because I do crazy things all the time. I like to stay busy. So, come on, join me on my page there.
Hey,
Mark, I just spell the name of the movie for the people out there because I tried to find it on Amazon, and I couldn't spell it correctly, so the way I found it was I just put in your name, and it came up. But spell the name so that people can find it very easy.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Inspectrade. So it's INSPECTRES.
Yeah.
Okay.
And watch it, because it's going to take off, and you just got an opportunity to meet one of the stars of the movie here on our show before it takes off. So there you go.
And I liked we had the Onion gave us a 4 out of 5 rating. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. The only thing they complained about, and I couldn't blame them, they complained about that our effects weren't really real special. So we did the best we could there, but on the budget, you know, you do what you can do.
John can tell you about that, right, John?
No matter what you do, someone's going to knock it or complain about it that it wasn't really good, so I wouldn't even listen to it, Mark.
Yeah.
John's a filmmaker and director as well, so he knows boat you're in.
Well, here's how I feel about it. If they feel that the effects wasn't enough, it was done very well theatrically.
Yeah. So instead of in the credits, instead of special effects, just put effects.
Exactly. And the thing I liked, it was a very good write. It really was. And even the Onion, they complimented on this. They said a very good write. And I was like, all right, there you go.
Excellent.
That's what it's all about.
Excellent. Right. Excellent. Well, great. Well, Mark, anything else you want to add before we end the show?
No, I think we're good. I think we covered it all. And go ahead and folks out there, I was glad to meet y'all and get a chance to watch Inspectrade, because we got another comedy coming up soon, and we just want to make you fall out of your chair.
Excellent.
If that's okay.
Excellent. No, I think that's okay with me. Anyway, but Mark, Mr. Mark J. Pavick, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you, sir. And again, thanks for filling in for this last minute to join us here, because unfortunately the Grammys are on tonight. And one of our guests, who's a very special guest to me, Mark Barron, is going to be on the Grammys tonight. I really didn't want to miss it. So I'm glad that you were able to join us and help me out. And I appreciate it so much. And I wish you nothing but the best, sir. And please, you let us know if you want to come on back and tell us about any other movies that you're in. And we'd be more than happy to have you on.
Sure. When we get the next one out, I'll ring you there. And we'll give a little chat.
You got it. You guys.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you again. You too. Take care, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was nice. All right. So, John, how was your week this week? You ready for a new one?
I'm still catching up from last week.
Oh, God. I know. I don't know what I'm in for tomorrow. Oh, boy. I got to tell you, I had a little problem with a guest. I won't say who it was or whatever. But due to the fact that I haven't been in work in 2 weeks, I have no idea what day it is, okay? My calendar is a mess. I'm on the phone with 30 people a day trying to book the shows. I'm emailing, constantly messaging, texting with 30 people a day. This guest tells me, oh, we don't think we want to be on because this sounds a little fishy now, because I confused the dates. I was using a January calendar versus a February calendar to book him. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it. It sounds fishy to them. How does a radio interview sound fishy? Do you get that? Anyway.
It depends who the guest was. Maybe they're not all there, you know.
Well, I won't say what or who or what, but that's the response I got today. This sounds fishy. So call us the Fishy Show if you want to, but... Yeah, it's close to Fishy Show, but we'd love to get you hook, line, and sinker in here because we love talking to you. Our listeners love listening to you, and we can't wait to have the fabulous guests we're having coming up. I can't announce them right now because we're still in the booking process for February. So anyway, John, as always, thank you so much, and thank you to Jack O'Halloran and Mark G. Pavick. It was a pleasure having you both on. Please come back, both of you. You're always welcome back. All of our guests are always welcome back because we have such a good time with them. We just love meeting you. We love introducing you to your fans on the show, and we just love it. I mean, I love having you on, and I love talking to you, and John, I love you. And let's say thank you to our sponsors. We have, sorry about the paper noise, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Precious Memory Video in Pennsylvania. What town? So I can write it down.
Kintnersville.
All right, I got it.
It's by Hoochieville.
By Hoochieville? By Hoochie Mamaville?
Hootersville.
Oh, Hootersville. And KWBYI. By Green Acres. Oh, darling, New York is right out of sight. Well, thank you all very much. We will announce who's coming up on Wednesday, and we appreciate it. Thank you all, and have a good night. John, thank you. Have a good night, honey. I'll talk to you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.